From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 11th day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Mexican government is consulting the WTO over the new U.S. country of origin labeling law. So has Canada. And the White House says it's looking forward to a vigorous debate on the science of indirect land use as it relates to ethanol and other renewable fuels. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll give you one economic view of how much each day of delayed planting cost a corn farmer from this point forward. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. The Closing Mark Report is a production of Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled on this Monday afternoon in Chicago. Futures from the wheat pit finished unchanged with the nearby May contract at $5.80.5 a bushel, July at $5.90.75. Your new crop settled a quarter lower, September at $6.17, down one quarter. In Kansas City, July harvest month at $6.34 for the hard red, a penny higher on the afternoon. Back in Chicago, where they trade corn, nearby May contract at $4.13.5, lost a half cent. July at 421.25, gained one quarter. September was unchanged at 429.5. New crop December futures at 440.25, up a half cent on its settlement price, and the March contract at 450.75, up one quarter for the March corn. Soy complex now, May soybean futures $11.30, down 4 cents. July at 11.16, 4.5 higher. August at 10.76, up 2.5 cents, and September at 10.25, up 3.5. November beans, $9.83. The new crop settled 3.5 cents higher on the day. January 2010 contract in the bean pit at 9.86.75, up 4.25. May bean meal futures this afternoon at 3.62.40, up 2.90. The May oil at 39.28, down 2 cents. June live cattle 83.27.5, 30 cents higher. May feeders at 99.55, up 20 cents, and the May lean hogs at $61.10 a hundredweight, down 2.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets looked like at this hour. June crude oil futures settled the day at $58.50 a barrel. That's 13 cents lower. July at $59.41, down 33. June ethanol, $1.69.1, up a penny and six tenths. And the natural gas at $4.29.1, down 2 cents today. June gasoline for the RBOB at $1.67.8. That's 2 6/10 lower. June diesel fuel or heating oil, $1.50.1. It's 1 7/10 lower. And June propane futures at 70 cents even, 1.5 cents higher for the day. May gold futures at $913 an ounce, down $1.40. The Dow at 84.66 is just about 108 points lower on the day. The U.S. dollar this afternoon at 82.67 is up 0.14, and the CRB index at 242.55 is down 0.68 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says skies should be clear to partly cloudy this evening. Lows will range from 37 in northeast Eastern Indiana to 50 in the western parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, says Mike, mostly sunny skies early, then increasing cloudiness during the afternoon in the western part of the state of Illinois. Highs will range from 66 in northern Indiana to 75 in the far south. The extended forecast says dry and cool conditions will dominate the early part of the week, but a disturbance will bring the potential for moderate to local heavy rainfall Tuesday through early Thursday. The heaviest precip will fall in south-central and far southern sections of the two-state area. A follow-up storm system is indicated to arrive for the weekend with widespread half-inch to one-inch rainfall expected. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of this hour when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. With us today is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Todd.
Hey, and thanks for being here on Commodity Week over the weekend. We appreciate you coming in for that, too.
Boy, that's a great program. Always enjoy coming down and doing it with all the other analysts. It's always exciting to be able to participate. And it's awful informative, too, Todd.
Well, thank you. And a little bit informal over the weekend. We tried something different. I don't think we'll do that often, but you guys were having such a good time chatting long before we started the show that, well, I just started the recorders and let them go. Those who haven't heard that program, it was with Jerry Golke. He's with Strategic Marketing Services in Rockford, Illinois. And Jackie Vakes was along with Kurt Kimmel, and we had Matt Bennett, too. And it was an awfully good program. Did you learn anything that you hadn't before when you got to that program, other than that Mr. Golke got out and got stuck in his field last week?
Yeah, when you see a wet hillside. I know he's been farming for a while, but that was kind of entertaining.
Yeah, that was actually pretty entertaining. Well, anyway, those who want to listen to it can do that online at willag.org. Maybe we better talk about what's happening in the marketplace today. Why did the markets not do anything? I know there'll be a lot of farmers thinking, hey, I did not get in the field anywhere in the Midwest over the weekend, and we're waiting it out, but the marketplace didn't seem to get too scared today.
No, I mean, overnight trade was kind of steady, sold off in the middle of the night, came back, and this morning we opened lower, came back, and sort of a holding pattern tells us maybe consolidation week here. We have, of course, the weather forecast. There is some planting taking progress here yesterday and today and tomorrow, so I think the trade's comfortable getting more corn to ground, but a large percentage of the Corn Belt is still going to be waiting for it to dry out. 6 to 10 days cool with normal precip in the forecast. The 8 to 14 days shows below normal precip. So there's that carrot out from us. There's that promise or hope that we will dry out here after this week into late next week. So we'll monitor that as we go. Then, too, tomorrow we do have the monthly demand numbers. We'll see how the USDA is going to handle this old crop on the demand side. So many factors, you know, feed demand, export demand, ethanol use demand. You know, there's still a lot of questions there on the old crop. As far as the new crop goes, we'll see if they start to get aggressive on fine-tuning the yield for this 09 we're trying to put in the ground yet, Todd.
Ending stocks will be released tomorrow morning at 7:30. We'll put them in the newsletter and get them on our website. That's willag.org, or if you sign up there at the newsletter, we'll send them directly to you in email. Ending stocks, you think will change for the current marketing year? The average trade guess now is a 1.687 for corn, a 1.26 per core for soybeans. USDA in April, of course, at a 1.65 for the beans and a 1.7 for the corn.
Well, first of all, anybody that's listening today, they got to get in your newsletter, because when you guys send out that email, the supply-demand numbers, it is so clean and crisp. It's got what the numbers are, and right beside it, it's got what the trade was looking for. It's got some previous numbers. I use that a lot. I enjoy receiving that. I print that out. It's clean and crisp. If you're an analyst or a broker, you get a full page of this stuff, and your report is to the point, Todd. I really appreciate you guys doing that.
Well, you know, Dave Dickey, who's the director of ag programming, puts that together early on each morning of the updates and does the weekend the weekend letter as too. I won't take any credit for that. He does a magnificent job, and it sure is easy to read. I agree with you. So if you want that, visit willag.org. Hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. It's automatic, and you'll be on by tomorrow morning. Okay, so what do you think those numbers are going to look like?
Okay, to answer your question,
I thought I was going to forget.
Old crop corn, I don't see a whole lot of action there. There could be a move up or down 10, 20 million bushels, but we're dialed into 1.7, 1.6. You know, we need to see continuation of strong demand from Asia to lower that much. But the big question is true feed use. That'll be debated. The main number will be the old crop beans. Export sales remain humongous, and they're going to stay firm. China's indicated from lay back last winter they want to build their reserve. And with Argentina out of the picture here, the U.S. has had to pick up the slack there. So 130 million bushels seems in line. There's ideas that could slip on down to 100 million bushels over time. Then to confirm that number, it would be the Argentine bean production number. You know, I don't know if we'll get a true reading on that until another couple months down the road, but, you know, ideas that's going to be in the low 30 million metric tons. So we'll see what the USDA has to say there. So that's going to be the highlights of the old crop numbers and world numbers per se. As far as new crop goes, I think the average trade guess is about 1.4 on corn and beans, around 240 million bushels. So we'll see what the numbers are. Once we get those numbers, they'll be plugged into the supply-demand balance sheet for traders to look at. Then we'll fine-tune those numbers on new crop as we go through the growing season, Todd.
Tell me about that old crop number. Say it does slip to 130, which is, by our reckoning, maybe a bit above the 126 average for the pre-trade guess. Is $11.30 high enough for May soybeans, or 11, maybe more importantly, 11.16 high enough for the July?
Good question. We feel in order really, China wants beans, they're going to pay whatever they want to get the beans. I don't think Asia is going to back away from beans unless they go on up to this $13 level. So if we come in 130, 120, I think July beans need to run to $12. We get closer to the 100 million bushel benchmark. July beans need to run to 13, 13.5. Now, the key, though, is we'll have to go to that level maybe to slow demand, but once they stop buying, I feel the market's vulnerable big time the other way.
Yeah, and then of course, producers will be saying, well, if I've got $13 old crop, I've got to have, you know, $12 new crop or $11.50 new crop. In the November, we're at 983. You see that spread widening?
I think the spread could widen out on a bullish report tomorrow. I think it's going to be reflective of the spread. Then you expect that spread to narrow back up. So just because the Asia quits buying doesn't mean November's going to drop dramatically unless we see an extra 2 to 3 million acres show up. Once we have confirmation of 2 to 3 million acres more of new crop beans than what they indicated in the March report, then we got some serious downside risk in the new crop November beans.
Anything else you wanted to take up for the day for sure this afternoon?
We feel we need to keep an eye on the livestock sector still. Mm-hmm. We feel that's an explosive market as we go down the road. I know you go back a year ago, they had a good rally in the meats, the following corn and beans higher. But when you look at the raw fundamentals in the next area that we feel the commodity funds are going to make a run, we feel it's in the cattle complex as we go into late summer, early fall next year.
You're talking about $20 higher?
We feel that the cattle market could run to $1.20, $1.25 this time next year.
All right. Thanks much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, I know you're busy at this time of the year. You're trying to get into the field, or you're in the field. Either way, you may or may not be near the radio all the time. If that's not the case, you can always pick us up online at willag.org and listen to these programs if you'd like. Or if you can't get back to the computer, how about dialing this number, 217-333-3434, 1015 and pre-15. We post updates of the numbers from the openings and the closes and a bit of analysis. Dave Dickey's here now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, Mexico says it has asked the World Trade Organization for consultations with the U.S. over its country of origin labeling law. The economy ministry said it will call for a WTO dispute settlement panel to receive the case if a mutually satisfactory agreement is not reached. The Mexican announcement follows a similar request filed by Canada and is the first step toward filing an official bilateral complaint with the Geneva-based WTO. Mexico fears the new measures demanded under the cool labeling will hurt Mexican livestock and agriculture exports and could be in violation of WTO rules. A White House official says the administration welcomes a robust debate on the science behind indirect land use. Heather Zeichel, deputy assistant to the president for energy and climate change, says the EPA is going to conduct peer reviews of the key components of the analysis on life cycle greenhouse gas emissions prior to finalizing the rule. Meanwhile, Senator Richard Lugar, a Republican from Indiana and a former chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, is calling the plans to include possible land use changes in other countries in its calculation of carbon emissions for renewable fuels ridiculous. Roger Johnson, the president of the National Farmers Union, says he is very surprised the Obama administration retained in its budget proposal a phase out of farm subsidies for farmers with more than $500,000 in gross sales. Johnson noted that his organization joined with other farm groups in stressing to the administration that proposals to limit farm subsidies have always been based on a farmer's adjusted gross income. NFU and other farm groups had said that even medium-sized farms would be affected by the gross sales proposal because last year commodity prices and input costs were both high, and the proposal did not take a farmer's expenses into account. Dallas-based ethanol producer White Energy Holding Company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. White Energy operates three ethanol plants totaling about 245 million gallons in production capacity. According to court documents, White Energy lists total assets and liabilities of $100 to $500 million. Archer Daniels Midland Company is listed as White Energy's biggest unsecured creditor, owed about $2.9 million for grain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, you know, planting delays east of the Mississippi River have row crop corn farmers and end users like ethanol manufacturers and livestock producers and even traders wondering just how yields will be affected. I'll have more on the historical impact of delayed corn planting. The best evidence of delayed corn planting actually comes from west of the Mississippi. Iowa's statewide corn yield, for instance, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, drops by about a third of a bushel for every percent of crop planted after May 10th.
If we start saying we get 20-25% of the crop planted after May 10th, now you're talking 5, 6, 7 bushels yield potential. As a result of that, that becomes significant at some point.
That figure is a composite of sorts based off the historical losses into Iowa and those that might come east of the Mississippi. The Illinois daily loss brings down the national average daily loss. Iowa is at 3/10 of a bushel per percent after May 10th. Illinois is just 1/10.
We don't statistically see as big a response, more in the neighborhood of 1/10 of a bushel for every percent planted after May 10th. And statistically, not really a significant variable. But again, we've not had recent experience where we've planted a lot of the crop after May 10th. We know that in many years, some of the crop gets planted late. And so if you have a small percentage that's planted late, it's hard to detect a state average yield effect. But if we start seeing a large percentage of it planted late, and then particularly if that's followed by less friendly weather during the heart of the summer, then that's when real problems can exist.
USDA releases planting progress reports each Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. This week's figures will show progress, as it happens, through the 10th day of May. So let's do the math for Illinois. 1/10 of a bushel lost for each percentage not planted by May the 10th. Last week, Illinois was 5% planted. Let's say farmers in the state managed to push that to 35%, which may be doubtful. 1/10 times the remainder, or 65%, equals 6.5 bushels per acre lost. Multiply that by $4 a bushel and you get $26 an acre. The average Illinois farm has about 400 acres of corn, so that's a bit more than $10,000 lost to the weather, and the corn isn't even in the ground yet. Now you know why we're here 6 days a week, talking about the agricultural weather forecast and the markets.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural cash grain markets. Matt Payne of the Andersons right here in Champaign County is on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Actually, this is Greg Johnson, oh. Todd. I took the call from Matt.
Oh, wow. I was ready to ask Matt all about himself, but we know all about you, Greg, so let's talk about the marketplace instead. First, how far along are farmers, or maybe how far along are farmers not in the area?
That's it. It didn't rain a whole lot last week, but it certainly wasn't a drying week. It took all week just to get to where farmers can maybe get in the field. We're hearing in isolated areas today, we're seeing some planting progress take place. Up by Hoopston, there's a dry pocket, and then down by Mansfield, there's a dry pocket. So here and there are pockets where people are able to get in the field, even more tomorrow. And then, of course, there's rain in the forecast for Wednesday and then again Saturday. So we will see a little bit of progress made this week, but if that rain comes through as predicted, probably not as much. And, you know, we were only 5% planted, according to USDA, last Monday. And when the numbers come out here in about a half hour, I would still think that would be, you know, single digits, 10%. Very, very little corn planted so far.
Very little corn planted here. The good news is that you were able to row some cornfields over the weekend. There's one south of Mahomet, and then I saw a few as I went to Springfield over the weekend, too. And that's a good sign. It will get in eventually. It's just late at this point. Are farmers very worried about the lateness yet?
They are concerned. I mean, but, you know, are they going to switch over to soybeans? Probably not if they can get in the field this week or next week. If you get into that week of Memorial Day and on into June, every day that goes by from Memorial Day on, you'll probably see a few acres start to shift over to beans. But we certainly would like to plant corn, even with the prospects of lower yields. I think farmers will still like to plant corn if at all possible.
And then very quickly, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight is 411, new crop 410, cash beans 1116. New beans, 953, and new wheat, 508.
Okay, we've got 24 seconds left. The bean market going to run?
We have a USDA supply and demand report out tomorrow. I wouldn't put anything past this bean market. It's a good price, but we saw better prices last year.
All right, thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons in Champaign County. This is the closing market report. Back in two with the Ag Weather.
It's National Mocha Tort Day. On this day in agricultural history, in 1838, Thomas Andrew Knight died, a British horticulturalist and botanist. He initiated the field of fruit breeding, and he studied the effects of pollen in the garden pea on seed characteristics. He also investigated controlled environmental culture, better known as greenhouses, as well as plant nutrition, fertilization, and pest control. In 1886, W. Marshall patented a grain binder. In 1934, a two-day Dust Bowl storm caused major ecological and agricultural damage to the American and Canadian prairies. The phenomenon was caused by severe drought, coupled with decades of extensive farming without crop rotation or other techniques to prevent erosion. In the 1930s, millions of acres of farmland became useless for planting. The Dust Bowl was centered on the panhandles of Texas and Oklahoma, as well as parts of New Mexico, Colorado, and Kansas. And in 1946, B.F. Goodrich announced the development of the tubeless tire. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for a Monday is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. I bet it's just beautiful from there this afternoon. Is that right, or you got clouds rolling in?
Well, just we have the clouds rolling in here, Todd, but looking up north, it's fair kind of spring day, albeit a little touch on the cool side.
It is a little touch on the cool side, and hopefully it will at least keep the rainfall out of the forecast for a bit, but you may be able to better tell me that than I can tell you. What's it look like?
Well, I guess it's what your definition is of a bit, Todd, and our definition is the dry window here is through the rest of the day today and pretty much all of tomorrow. Then we do see rain increasing across the Midwest, especially in Illinois, starting up tomorrow night, Tuesday night, overnight hours into Wednesday morning. One band of rain moving through as a warm front pushes across the state. And then that's followed by a strong cold front on Wednesday afternoon, and that's going to produce another round of showers and thunderstorms. So we have this break in the action here until late tomorrow night. And rains return. That actually looks to be followed up by another rain system over the upcoming weekend.
Well, I would think that most farmers were thinking Wednesday might be just about the time they could get back in. You're telling me they'll have rainfall. Is it going to be widespread?
Yes, it is, Todd. And this system coming through looks pretty potent. And as a result, showers and thunderstorms will be developing. And some of the thunderstorms will be severe and produce heavy rainfall. We expect overall at least the highest totals here will be kind of along the I-88 corridor and areas adjacent to that. So areas of central and northern Illinois and then extends east and west from that looks to at least receive the heaviest rainfall totals, i.e. amounts over an inch.
It's always dangerous to look out your back door, but let's see. If they're about like us, that means they won't be in until Wednesday and they get rainfall. They won't be back until Friday, maybe, if it's not that big. And then there's another storm front possibly, isn't there?
Yeah, and as far as the system coming up over the weekend, it also looks like a widespread rain producer. So bottom line here is that we have just a handful of dry days. Two of them are happening here today and tomorrow, but that looks to be the extent of it for the most part over the next week's time frame.
Ooh, okay. That takes care of the Midwest and Illinois and the Eastern Corn Belt. How about Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska?
Yeah, those areas, too, will also receive rainfall, albeit it will be a bit lighter in nature, except for those areas right along, well, central and southern Iowa that also looks to receive some heavy rainfall. So after some planning here over the weekend, those areas will likely at least see some delays. But overall, as we've seen from the numbers in past week, that planting has been quite rapid across those areas.
So in the Eastern Corn Belt, can't get a crop in the ground, getting some in the ground. In the Western Corn Belt, can we depend on China to come through with a corn crop?
It's looking right now that China is starting off their planting season in really good shape for summer crop planting. No moisture issues to discuss, and generally favorable weather for planting.
Okay, well, there's good news somewhere on the globe. Thanks much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo's with Chesapeake Energy. That's the closing market report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.